First, though, a number of helicopters are being kept busy today drying out cherry crops in the Huon Valley following the heavy rain on Tuesday night. Some growers are estimating losses now of up to 70% of the crops that remain in orchards in the area, which was hit with more than 70 millimetres of rain. Reporter James Euster this morning caught up with Matthew Griggs from Lucaston Park Orchards.
You've just had the chopper go over Signet on one of the orchards there. How did that go?
We think it helps to dry them out as quick as possible, and that's the idea. So,
when did you make the call to get the chopper in?
I was up at 5 o'clock this morning having a look, so yeah, we got him in. He was here at 7, so that was a good start, yeah.
What is the hope that that chopper will do? What are you looking to get out of that?
Yeah, look, basically, I mean, the longer the cherries are wet for, the more likely they are to split, so the quicker we can get them dry, the better, yeah.
What do you tell the captain of the helicopter, just hover above them as long as possible?
Yeah, well, the idea, the pilot just sits about 30 foot off the net, off the ground, and, yeah, just goes over them as fast or slow as it needs to be done to get them dry, so, yeah.
Do you reckon you'll have to look at getting him back at some stage? We've got a fair few clouds pulling in over us at the moment. It could be a couple more showers.
Yeah, look, hopefully not. I mean, they're quite expensive to hire in, but, if we need to, we will.
How much rain have you had around here?
We've had 3 inches over the last 36 hours, yep.
And the rain's been pretty steady over the last 24 hours to 48 hours as well. What type of impact is that having?
Yeah, well, like I said before, the longer the fruit is wet for, the more likely they are to split. So
we're standing in one of the orchards here surrounded by cherries, and you reckon these are meant to be some of the hardier, more rain-resistant cherries. How are they holding up?
Regina is, they certainly are more rain resistant. Yeah, look, they've actually come through it okay. There certainly is more splitting than what we'd like. But, the other varieties like Lappin, which we grow a lot more of, have certainly got a lot more splitting in them. Yeah, probably maybe 70% split, yeah.
How many tonnes of cherries were you looking at harvesting this season?
We were looking at about 200.
And of that 200, what do you think will be sort of top quality cherries that you'll be able to salvage now?
Look, it's really hard to say at this stage. I'll have a much better idea next week, but we'll still have some very good quality fruit to sell, yeah.
How many cherries had you harvested before the rain came?
Probably about 80 tonne, yeah.
And so still left on the trees, how much will you look to clear?
I'm guessing there'd be about 100 tonnes still on the trees, yeah.
Some of the cracking in these cherries looks to be quite severe splits, and I guess that just goes to show that this has been a bit of an unprecedented rain event.
Yeah, well, it's been an absolute nightmare. It's the worst possible weather we could have at this time of the year. So, yeah, I mean, the splitting of sea is evidence of 36 hours of soaking wet, and that's just what you get, yeah.
And the next couple of days now, what do you look at doing? Keeping an eye on the weather, obviously, but how do you move forward from this?
Yeah, look, I mean, we've just got to have a good look at what we've got left and work out the best way of salvaging what we have and making the most out of what we've got. So, yeah, time will tell. But at this stage, we'll certainly pick some cherries and we'll certainly have some still to sell. So, yeah.
Have you got the helicopter on speed dial?
Oh, yeah, he's always on standby for us, yeah.
Good luck. Hopefully we don't see too much more rain.
No worries, thank you.
Matthew Griggs from Lucaston Park Orchards talking to reporter James Euster about the cherry crop losses due to the rain. Well, Grove orchardist Howard Hansen is also using a helicopter to dry out cherries affected by the rain. Howard Hansen has told ABC Local Radio the losses in the remaining crops in the Huon could amount to 70%.
The bird net above the trees is about 5 metres above ground level, and so we're probably hovering another 4 to 5 metres above the net, and then moving in a forward direction of about 3 to 4 knots, and each pass will do about 4 or 5 rows of trees, so about 20 to 25 metres wide in each pass. So for prolonged hours of wetness that we've had, that fruit is absorbing moisture. Some of that moisture is coming in through the skin, being the free moisture on the outside surface of the fruit, is being attracted to the high sugar content inside the fruit through osmosis and sucking that in. And also a percentage of the cracking occurs because the water that's landed on the ground coming up through the roots and in through the stem, and simply the skin can't expand quick enough and ends up bursting or cracking. and then that makes that fruit completely unsaleable. Yesterday afternoon, we thought we may have lost, you know, 50% of the crop we've had left to pick in the Huon Valley, but, you know, with another night being wet last night, we now think it's probably approaching 70%. The only positive thing is that even back when I did a thesis looking at the opportunity for cherries in my last year of study, we identified that the Derwent Valley was a better area for growing cherries than the Huon. At that time, we didn't own any land in the Derwent, but now we have three quarters of our cherry production in the Derwent Valley, and it's in really good shape. We only had less than a third the amount of rain up there, and the trees were dry at it stopped raining at 5 o'clock yesterday morning up there. We had the helicopters had them dry by 8 o'clock, and they didn't get wet again. So up there, they were only wet for maybe 10 or 12 hours and a lot less rain. And you know, we may have lost 5 or 10% up there at the most, but the percentage of our crop that's in the Huon is what's been knocked around. So we're still going to have plenty of cherries for our customers, but it's just disappointing. We're not going to have so many from here in the Huon, and I expect some blocks, you know, it just won't be economic to pick at all.
Grove orchardist Howard Hansen. Well, the manager of Kirkwood's Orchard in the Coal River Valley, Ken Bell, says over half the cherry crop there has already been harvested, but they'll use the better weather conditions today to determine the amount of damage to the remaining crop.
We're in an earlier area of the cherry season, so we're probably just over halfway through.
And so you've managed to clear, how much have you taken off the trees at this stage?
About 140 tonne we've picked and in cool store or in transit to markets. Mm.
And the amount of cherries that are left out there on the trees in this rain, how much is that at this stage?
Oh, about 80 tonne we feel that it's still out there. There's a little bit of domestic, but that's usually, we're only sending seconds to domestic. We're exporting the bulk of our crop and it's going to basically Taiwan, China and other smaller markets like Hong Kong or Singapore or Malaysia.
Is there a risk at the moment that the cherries on the trees will be downgraded if this rain sort of persists a bit longer?
Oh, definite. You know, once the rain persists and we get excessive damage, what happens then? Your packout becomes lower. So you do still salvage some fruit, but instead of having where at the moment we're running in the high 60s, about 70% first grade fruit, that could drop dramatically down to around about 40-50%.
Did you have a quota for some of those contracts that you were trying to feel that this will have an impact on?
No, we don't have a quota. We just sort of, with cherries, nobody, you don't have them till you've got the money in the bank. You know, like that. But we do the best we can to honour our orders.
And the season before this has been a bit of a, not a storm cell, but there's been a bit of rain about. How's that impacted the season?
Well, I'm only new to this property. Like the previous manager has left in September, and last year I believe they picked about 160 tonne, so we've already just about picked that. Our packouts this year are better than they were last year. I mean, more in the actual larger sizes. It's not excessively large fruit here, but we're getting a higher percentage of the sought-after counts. You can't do anything about the weather. You've just got to do the best you can to have your cover sprays and everything on and hope that it's right.
Ken Bell, the manager of Kirkwood Orchards in the Coal River Valley, talking there to reporter James Euster at 21 past 12 on the Tasmanian Country Hour on 936 ABC Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. The disparity in the price of petrol compared to regional areas and metropolitan areas, that story coming up. But the rains on the east coast and in the southeast of the state has caused widespread closures of oyster farms. If the falls of over 100 millimetres came any earlier, the closure would have disrupted the busy harvest period. And busy it was. Growers couldn't meet the enormous demand for their oysters, particularly from export markets like China. Oyster Taz chairman John Polk has told Alex Blucher the rain bucketed down over some of the state's biggest oyster farms.
There's been significant rain at Grey, near St Helens, and Mount Wellington over 100 millimetre. Clifton Beach, 90-odd millimetres. So I would say that most of the growing areas on the east coast will be closed.
What impact will that have on the oyster growers in that region?
As long as it's just a rainfall closure and there hasn't been any breaching of sewerage systems, it will just be a mandatory closure on salinity. Once the salinity's back above the prescribed level for 2 days, the leases will be open again.
How many oyster growers are affected by that, if that closure in the East Coast?
Well, there could be up to 60 farms that would be affected. At this point in time during the season, a lot of the farms will have sold out of their product, the main period being prior to Christmas. Once the oysters spawn at this time of year, they are then not available for sale.
Now, down in the southeast of the state, there's been high rainfall as well. What are you expecting to see happen down there?
Most of the growing areas down there will be closed until tests prove that the product's satisfactory for market. Most of the harvest has been completed. We would just be looking to start on spawnless oysters in the next couple of weeks. They should be coming ready to go onto the market. It was fortunate that this didn't come through prior to Christmas and close all the leases on the in the southeast.
Now, more generally, how have things been up in the northwest in the Smithton region for this last harvest?
Our harvest period started a little bit later this year. We normally look to start early December. Programmed our fish, got them a little bit late, so our harvest been a bit later, so we'll be harvesting through probably until the end of January.
Why did you start late?
Just the season, the fish coming ready at the time of the year. We have different batches coming through. We farm by batch and depends when they were produced in the hatchery and how advanced they are. The climatic conditions each year do change. Oysters building up their fat content in the meat can vary.
Now, demand has been quite strong. Has it been stronger this year than last season?
Demand's been very strong this year, particularly on the export front. Export demand is nearly untenable.
What do you mean by that?
We just cannot, as an industry in Tasmania, produce the quantities as and when they're required.
Where has that extreme amount of demand come from?
Predominantly from China.
Have you seen a marked increase in that demand since last season?
It's been building for about 4 years. We've been going to a lot of the food shows in Southeast Asia. It has been increasing the whole time, the demand.
Do you think that this level of demand coming from China would have been there regardless of this free trade agreement with China that's been signed and regardless of President Xi Jinping's visit to Tasmania?
I think the demand has been there prior to that, and I don't think that has been the sole contributing factor. Demand had been building for the last 4 years. The change with the free trade agreement is certainly going to assist us be more competitive with other countries that are going into China.
Oyster Tas Chairman and grower John Polk speaking to Alex Blucher about what he calls the almost untenable demand for Tasmanian oysters.